Hello, everybody. It is time for our Friday night Q&A relaxing hangout. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't take an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof: critiques, tutorials, professional development, and workshops. Tell me in the chat, what did you do this week that was art related? And it does not need to be that you made art. Maybe you thought about it. Maybe you saw something on social media, an artist you found who you think is really interesting. Could be any of those things. Because you know something? I haven't made any artwork for a really long time. To the point where on my personal Instagram, I was like, should I explain to people that I just don't feel like making work right now? Because I get into these pockets of time where I just feel like it would be a distraction for me to be making work. I'm knee deep in so much editing, and my art experience this week, again, didn't make anything, but is important. And tell me in the chat what you have been doing, what you've been looking at. Is I believe it's not 100% confirmed just yet, but I believe I have infiltrated the Getty Museum in California. Some of you may know that I have an LA trip coming up. I guess that's in about a week and a half. I'm going to be there. And you all know that I've been doing a lot of museum visits and trying to show you all artist studios and other places like that. And it's been my goal to make contact with a curator or conservator, somebody who works at the museum, to be able to speak to them about their process. And I think I did it. I think I have something at the Huntington too. But again, I don't believe it until something is booked solid. But fingers crossed, I think it's going to work. And so anybody here who has been feeling nervous about cold calling, asking people for help, do it. Because you know something, I got a couple emails from people, curators who I contacted, who were like, talk to communications, which is fine. I'm not saying it's their job to entertain me or anything with a lengthy email, but they clearly were not really that interested. And that sort of made me get all self-conscious again about it, even though I know I should just forget it and contact people. But then after that, I got two positive replies. I'm like, yes, this is worth it. So even in that moment where you might feel like, who am I to be asking for this thing? And maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Just do it. Because that person who maybe wasn't that interested, they probably only thought about me for about 30 seconds, maybe less than that. And in the scheme of things, I'm not really going to register on them unless I was really annoying and kept bothering them with emails. And so I recommend to everybody, send those emails, because most of the opportunities that I've had have been ones I created myself, because I contacted somebody and said, hi, I'm available. I'm not a nutcase. Please hire me. And by the way, everybody, today is the last day to register for May and June workshops. Remember, we need to get enough registration to make sure that they run. Flowers, pen and ink, acrylic painting, printmaking party, and collage and mixed media, and landscapes and water. Again, today is the last day to register for these workshops. They are 2 weeks long. A lot of people don't realize that the workshops are a 2 week experience. So you have 2 weeks of written support the week before and the week after the 3 hour live session. So it really is an experience. It's immersive. It's like those Van Gogh immersive experiences. Oh, Emmett spent 2 days at the Getty. I know, I really, really want a conservator thing. They're sort of hard to break into, I think largely because I just don't have any experience with that field at all. I don't really know what the lay of the land is like in that field, but I'm going to go figure it out. because this is the other thing. Okay, you guys ready? This is my plan. This is my plan to take over the world. So basically, this trip came up really fast. And so I didn't really have a lot of time to foster connections like I normally like to do. But I did go onto Instagram and I looked up all the curators from places that I may be traveling to in the next year or so, like places I always go to, like New York City and Boston and Rhode Island are places I try to go to. I've got family and friends there. And so I'm following them all on Instagram. So here's the plan. Okay. I follow them on Instagram. I write intelligent comments that make it sound like I'm not just some person. And usually that gets people to notice you. If you guys want to get noticed by a certain person on Instagram, write a thoughtful comment. It really stands out because even our following is very large, but I notice those comments and I notice the names. Eventually you start to put two and two together. Oh yeah, that's this person that always writes these very nice things on our Instagram. And so I'm going to do that for a little while. And then when I have a trip coming up, I'll message them on Instagram and I'll say, I'm going to be in town. Would you like to take me behind the scenes at the Metropolitan? Something like that. Thank you so much, Angela, for the super sticker. That is so important to us. When all of you donate to Art Prof, you are making it possible for us to do things like have a website, which by the way, costs $60 a month, and have all of these other programs that we enjoy doing with all of you. So thank you all for your support. All that stuff, it really adds up. Oh, I'm so glad you got to see the Andrew Raftery video, George. See, I remember George left a very nice comment on that video. And because you've done that more than a few times, I know who you are. So it actually does work, you guys, even with people that have a fairly large following. Tell me in the chat, who here watched the Andrew Raftery video about his exquisite watercolor paintings, and who has not yet, and who has it on their watch list? Because it's been around for a little bit. I think it's been up for about a week. Yes, I am babysitting it like crazy because I want to make sure it stays active. But tell me in the chat if you've seen that video yet, because it's one of my favorite videos that we have ever produced. People were like, you need to make more of these. I'm like, oh man, these take so long to make. They're just so time consuming, but they are my favorite type of video to produce. And Manette, excited for the pen and ink workshop. Just getting started into pen and ink, and so it was perfect timing. Pen and ink, I think, is really tricky as a material because it does seem sort of straightforward in that it's all lines. For the most part, people usually aren't putting rainbow colors and stuff into pen and ink drawings, but it's just the degree of sensitivity that you have to have to such a small thing, like a very, very thin line. And then how to use that to construct an image is very difficult. So even though the idea of pen and ink doesn't seem so hard to process, as an actual practice, it is very, very difficult. Lisa says, husband agreed to make an art piece based on my brainstorming idea, but it will be entirely his piece as he's making all the important choices. Oh, do we have an artist collaboration happening here, Lisa? Because you know something, I've never actually done an artist collaboration before. I know Lauren has done it with Eloise Sherrod, who used to be a teaching artist here. I have other colleagues that have done stuff like that. And every time I hear about an artist collaboration, I'm like, am I just a really selfish artist? Like, am I just not engaging? But I guess it's just a very specific situation. Like, you really have to be in line creatively with the person who you are working with. And by the way, we did have a fantastic Open Studios Club session. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Open Studios Club is a chill hangout. It's kind of like this, except it's all on voice. You guys get to chat with me. We have such fun conversations. Last time we were talking about 3D design and about eggs and how form and volume are fundamental parts of being an artist. And everybody in the Discord gets one free session. It's free, 2 hours to come hang out with me. So come into the Discord and let us know. Just tag me in general chat. Let me know. Yes, he is a very gentle, kind person. People seem very impressed by his desire to not make the museum guards nervous with his T-square. I mean, that's exactly the type of person he is. So I was very happy I could show those sides of his personality, because there are a lot of artist documentaries out there. There's some really fantastic ones, but I feel like a lot of them are really just about the art, and the artist talks in sort of a formal way. There's no casualness to it. And so what I was trying to strike with that video was really to honor his process and his materials. But I also wanted to show what kind of person he was, because I think that's a big part of understanding an artist is, okay, this is the work they have, here's their description. But I really wanted to show those little things that get brought out of a person when you're talking to them. Because a lot of the artist documentaries, it's like they interview the artist and there's not really a back and forth conversation. And so I thought that was really fun for us to be able to have a conversation so you could see what he's like just as a person, not just as an artist. I see, Matthew, we have enabled you to go get a dip pen to try with watercolor. Yes, we are very good at doing that. So we are happy to make you go to the art store, because there's always a reason to go to the art store. And I'm so glad that so many people got to see that video. Make sure that you get to see it, because it's a fantastic video. Anna says, I collaborated with a poet I became friends with at an artist residency. I was skeptical at first, but we both worked with mythology and the project worked really well. Oh, that's really cool. So that wasn't somebody that you knew in advance, Anna, because I guess it's sort of like roommates. Like sometimes it's better if you're not super close friends, because I definitely have been in situations where we weren't friends after. That's like not a good thing. And so sometimes when there's a little bit of distance, like you're not such close personal friends, it can actually be a good thing. And oh, Angela, if you're having a problem with Discord, you probably should call their tech support. Unfortunately, that's not something on our end that we can help you with, but I do know some people have had those tech issues. So see if you can contact Discord and find out what is going on. Because guess what, you guys? I know I'm a little biased, but I do believe that our Discord is amazing. Oh, by the way, no chat post Friday night hangouts. I know it says that. I just want to show you guys the slide. But I'm in there pretty much all day, every day, and it's the closest interaction that I've ever been able to have with our audience. I mean, I think back to when we did not have the Discord, and the only places I could really talk to people were on Instagram or YouTube. But while certainly we have conversations there, they're not nearly as in depth or as continuous as what we have in the Discord. And that's something I am so appreciative of. Like usually there's some back and forth on Instagram, but it's not that much. And what I found in the Discord is people will be around, do a lot of stuff, and then maybe something comes up in their life and they can't be as active. And then they come back and we have more conversations. And I just have found that doesn't really happen on the other platforms. And so that's a great reason to do that. And we do stuff in there that you don't get to see unless you're in the Discord. So come hang out with us. And it is heavily moderated. So anybody here who's worried about, oh, is it safe? Are there people that are jerks in there? Sometimes a jerk joins and we get rid of them really fast. So everybody should feel, in terms of joining the Discord, that it is a safe, inclusive place. And, oh, okay. So Anna explains, I met her at the residency, but we had a very intense relationship during the 6 weeks I was there. Who here has done an artist residency before? Because I think a lot of people don't really know much about residencies. And what's really confusing about them is there's such a range. They're so different in terms of structure, in terms of whether they provide a stipend or housing or anything. I mean, I think out of all the different things you can do as an artist, like apply to things, that's the one that's the most confusing. I mean, I've looked at artist residency sites and thought to myself, why didn't I just book my own hotel and plane and just go somewhere? Like, it didn't seem like there is much going on. There's other residencies, like, for example, the Rome Prize is extremely prestigious. It's probably one of the top prizes you could get as an artist. It's fully funded. It's a whole year in Rome. But I think what's challenging about residencies that people don't realize is that actually in the application, what really matters the most is your project proposal. So for example, you can't just apply to the Rome Prize and be like, yeah, I want to go to Rome. It's like, yeah, everybody wants to go to Rome. You have to actually demonstrate with your research and your background and explain in your statement why you want to work as an artist in Rome for a year and what you're going to get out of that experience. So that is oftentimes the hardest thing, is writing a proposal that people are going to be on board with for something like that. It depends on the residency. I mean, there's some residencies where maybe they don't have a project proposal. It depends. Some are fully funded and the application process tends to be a lot more rigorous, but they are a really excellent option. Especially a lot of people talk to me about going to grad school, getting an MFA, and oftentimes they don't realize that you don't have to go to grad school to do a lot of the things that a lot of artists would like to do. I mean, a lot of us, I think, crave that time where we are just away from everything. Who here would like that? Myself included. My residency this afternoon was I took a nap. It's like writing comments and falling asleep. I was like, okay, this is bad. I need to take a nap. That was my residency. Actually, you know what's another residency for me is when my kids and husband go away. It's like, oh, residency in my own home. Nobody's bothering me. Continuous amounts of time to do my work without distraction. But a lot of people, I'll say to them, well, listen, maybe you don't need to do an MFA. Maybe a residency would be a better fit. And it depends. Some of them are really long. Like the Rome one is a year. There's some that are a month and some that are a couple months. I actually found them a little bit frustrating though, because as somebody with kids, I really can't be away longer than 2 weeks. And it just seems like most of them want you there for a good month, which I understand. I mean, hey, if I could have a whole month, I would totally like to. But if you have kids, it's a little bit hard to pull yourself away. At least I know I could not be away from my kids for a month. I think that would be too difficult on them. Yes, that is true, Anna. Like if you go on a solo vacation, you don't find the community you find as the residency. Yes, and that's absolutely a big part of that experience. And some residencies, like the McDowell Colony in New Hampshire, that one is not even just visual artists. It's like composers and people from all different fields, which is really, really fun. And Lisa says some residencies include housing and materials and an exhibit with installation support. Yeah, they're so different, which is why I say if you want to apply for a residency, make sure you read really, really carefully. Everything that they want or what they provide or don't provide is really, really helpful. So tell me in the chat, what are some places you are finding yourself exploring that maybe are different than usual? For me, recently, it's been conservation, because that's an area that a lot of you guys have told me that you have interest in. Again, I know nothing about it, but I'm starting to follow them and see what they do and trying to figure out a little bit better what the structure of that field is like. Maybe even figuring out some things about the degrees that you have to get. I just would be fascinated by that whole thing. Who here has an interest in conservation? Because it's this extraordinary intersection of art and science, because there is the actual science of, okay, how are we going to restore this painting? But then there's just this incredible, I think, tradition that you are shouldering, that you are essentially there to preserve history. So I'm wondering who here is fascinated by that process, who here has no interest, and that's fine. But I know there's that really popular conservation channel. Is it Baumgartner? I can't say his name, but I have watched a couple of videos on that channel. I think it's absolutely fascinating. So I'm really hoping that we can start to infiltrate some of those places and start to show you guys some of those things, because of course it's really fun. I can always just go to a museum and stuff like that. But it's like when you get to talk to somebody who's there, it's just so much more fun for me. I mean, I think a lot of the reason why people are enjoying our recent reels done on site is because we are talking to the librarian, we're talking to the shop store owner. Yeah, did anybody see, I recently posted two more shorts from Guerra Paint and Pigment. I posted those this week. And they are that specialty paint shop, which is in Brooklyn, New York. And I got to visit them a little ways back. And going there and talking to Saren, who's the owner, and some of the other staff people, I mean, I felt like I was getting a college course on paint in that one visit. And I've yet to really dig into some of the stuff. I feel like editing the footage, I'm actually learning things. I'm learning words, dispersion, and binder, and all these things. I mean, I guess I sort of knew binder before, but not remotely to the depth that Saren talked to me about. So I've really enjoyed doing that. 7A says, conservation is science meets art, and I'm here for it. I love learning about how it works and why things deteriorate. You know what I think would be really stressful is being a textiles conservator, because I saw something recently. I think it was a reel on the Met Museum. Maybe it was the MFA Boston. I can't remember. But anyway, they had a reel about conserving the textile on Degas' sculpture of a ballerina. And I can't imagine how fragile something like that must be after all these years, but it's fascinating. Yeah, Parvi, I'm interested in it too. And it's funny because my interests go to so many different places, and I sort of just go down a big rabbit hole, and then I don't do it for a little bit, and then I come back. But what's been fun about all the traveling that I've been doing is I'll look at what a place has and then say, oh, wow, yes, I am going to do a deep dive on this topic, even though I never really thought about it before. So another place that I'm going to be going to when I'm in LA is Hiromi Paper. And actually, you know what's super cool is I met them at the Southern Graphics Council conference, the printmaking conference. They had a booth there. And so I contacted the store and said, can I come shoot? Not knowing who was going to answer that email. They're like, yes, I saw you. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So this will be great, because when I saw them at the conference, they just had a table. But now I'm going to go to the actual store, which is going to be really, really fun. And I feel like I'm learning about paper, like that Joomchi video that I released about the Korean paper making. I mean, I feel like I'm traveling the world's greatest classroom, learning so many things when I go away. Oh, Leslie says, worked in a university archival library. It made me consider materials differently. Oh, I'd love to hear more about that. Leslie, was there something specific about materials that you changed your way of doing things as a result of that? That would be really cool. George says, conservation tickles my inner nerd. Well, we're all big nerds here. And by the way, everybody, feel free, put your question in the chat. It does not have to be conservation related. If you have anything you want to pick my brain about, now is the time to ask. And Ann Name says, I'm a studio arts minor, and I'm curious, how do you keep improving with little feedback? Also, how do I get new skills like 3D modeling without taking a class? It's hard to improve without getting any feedback. That's the case for everybody. It doesn't matter how skilled you are. I mean, I have many years of experience in this field, and I still need feedback. I was working on some of those Moulin Rouge illustrations, and I was having a hard time with the composition. And so I messaged Kat and Mia. I'm like, okay, tell me. And within 5 minutes, they had nailed exactly what I couldn't see. So that was extremely important. And then I look at the feedback. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That seems so obvious now that they told me, but it frequently is not. So I would suggest, if you can, join our Discord, because we have free critique channels in there. You can just post your work, provide information about what you're doing and what you're trying to do, and get feedback. We do have a requirement. If you post one artwork in the critique channel for feedback, you are required to write 3 substantial critique comments on other people's artwork. And that's basically to make sure that people are giving things and also receiving things, that it's not just me, me, me. Want to make sure people are making it a two-way street. New skills. You really can learn so much of this online, especially software, where it's very nitty-gritty and it's go to file, do this, blah, blah, blah. I think that stuff is actually taught much better by watching a video tutorial, because my spouse used to teach the Maya class, 3D modeling, at RISD in the film department. And it's really hard to do a live demo because you have students who learn it much faster, and you have students, it takes them a little while. And so actually he had them watching video tutorials because it just didn't make sense to make the entire class learn that at the same speed. So there's so many things you can do, a lot of places to get feedback. Technical advice on that, and feedback too. If you want feedback from me, you can join our Patreon group. And our Patreon group is $20 a month, and you get weekly voice sessions with staff where you get feedback on voice. You get long written critiques from me, and it's also a small group of artists. And so it's a lot easier to foster connections because it's not with the other 11,000 people that are in our Discord. And Leslie says, I created a Thomas Nast Harper's weekly exhibit. I love knowing these newspaper prints I picked will be around to tell the Thomas Nast story for decades. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I think a lot of the times visibility is just about finding somebody who is willing to give that work a voice somewhere, because unfortunately, there are a lot of artists throughout history who, for one reason or another, nobody championed what they were doing, and so they are sort of lost to history. I mean, I feel like I did that a little bit with Andrew Raftery's, because he's not on social media at all. Never, ever will be. And people are asking me all these questions, and so I've been making a list from everything people are asking me. I'm just going to call him tomorrow, because he's the only person I know I can just call him. It's like very old fashioned. It's not like now where you text and like, is it okay to call? Like, I just call him. It's like really funny. Oh, we nailed you, Matthew. In addition to the dip pen purchase, pigment dispersions and Aquazole from Guerra, as mixing my own watercolors is both so much fun and so much cheaper. I actually do have I have it right here. Hang on. If you're wondering what Aquazole is, everybody, this is Aquazole. And it's basically something you use to bind watercolors, these little crystals. So if I maybe put it here, you guys can see it's these crystals, and you mix them with pigment to create watercolor. We have a question. I think this is for Leslie. What is an archival library, from Lisa? Oh my gosh, paper making? I never got to do it in school. And now I'm really sad, because when am I ever going to be in a situation where I have a big pulp mixer thing? I did get to work a little bit with somebody at Wellesley College. They do have a paper facility, and I got to see her teach a workshop, but I never actually got to do it myself. And oh, that would be amazing. I mean, maybe someday I'll get to take a paper making workshop. I'll take you guys all along with me. I thought that would be fun. If I signed up for a workshop myself somewhere and then documented the whole thing, that would be really fun. Would you guys like to see me do that? Because I love learning new things. Oh, goes my webcam again. Come on, put me in focus. Come on, do it. Do it, webcam. Okay, it's a little bit better. Oh, okay. So from Leslie's experience working in a library, never use pens or uncoated paper clips or staples, they rust, and rubber bands dissolve and stain. Lots of great tips. Yeah, that's the type of thing you're just not thinking about it in the moment, but I've seen those rubber bands dissolve, trust me. We have a question here from Joy Zone. How do you see bad feedback from good feedback? What makes good feedback to you? That's an excellent question. Bad feedback is feedback where I don't know what to do. A good critique should be one where you feel what the person is saying to you is actionable, that they're telling you, here's the thing in your work that's not working very well. And now here's the next step for how to improve that. So if somebody says to me on an artwork and they say, it just doesn't get to me, or I just don't think it's bold enough. Like, that's so vague. So anytime somebody gives me a critique that doesn't reference concrete parts of the piece, I find that very frustrating. Who here has gotten a critique like that? One that's just so vague. You're like, what do I do with this? It's not helpful. Or if people put in their personal bias, which happens all the time. Somebody doesn't like bunnies, and so they don't like my bunny painting. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it happens all the time where people just put in their personal bias. It's obnoxious. And bad feedback also where somebody's sort of dismissive of what I'm doing fundamentally, that happens a lot too. I had somebody who did not want to critique my prints because they weren't paintings. I'm like, it's an image, just critique it. And she would not talk to me. She's like, they have to be paintings. Nobody's going to care if they're not paintings. I'm like, it's right here. Just tell me. Like, she wouldn't critique it. She just couldn't get over that they weren't paintings. And I just thought that was so frustrating. Now, good feedback should be, as I said, actionable. It should target a particular aspect of the painting. It should be specific. And ideally, the best critique is the one that motivates you, that makes you say, oh yes, I can do that. I can do these changes next time. And it makes you want to get up and work on it more. That is the best critique. I can't say that that always happens, but that is my hope, is to have the critique give somebody something concrete, something actionable, and then to give them a little bit of a creative boost so that they don't feel like, oh, I don't want to work on this anymore, that they have something positive from that experience that they can take to continue the pieces. E is asking, what made you want to become an art professor, or how did you? Let's go way back. I'll tell you guys the in a nutshell thing. I just want to see if I can get my webcam to focus. Sometimes if I do this, oh, there it is. Okay, now I'm back. I actually went teaching by accident. It was not something I signed up to do. And the reason I did it was because I wanted to get out of high school. Because in high school, they had this program. It was called SPARC, Senior Program Alternative to Regular Classes. And so basically, if you had a certain GPA and had finished your classes, they would let you do an internship for spring semester of your senior year. And I was like, I'm getting out of here. Like, I hated high school. I was like, whatever. I just want to not be in school. So let's do this internship. And so I thought to myself, well, where can I work? And so I called up my elementary school art teacher and I said, can I just be your teacher's assistant? She's like, yeah. And so I started doing that and I loved it. It was so fun. Like, first of all, the kids are crazy cute and funny. And I was just so done with high school and annoying people my age that it just felt so refreshing. And then because I had that experience, I was able to get jobs at summer camps when I was a RISD student in undergrad teaching art classes there. And then I graduated from my undergrad program and I did teach elementary school art at a private elementary school in Boston. But ultimately, I wanted to teach college because I felt like it was where I could really bring depth to my studio practice. Because oftentimes, if you teach high school or elementary school, first of all, the pay is not that great. I mean, pay for adjuncts in college is not great either. But in academia, there really is a space for your studio practice. Like, I know oftentimes a lot of high school, elementary school teachers will tell me that they just don't have the time to make their own work. And so I wanted to be in academia so it could feel like that was part of that life, teaching college and having a professional studio practice. I really wanted to do that. So that was a big part of that. Good. Ego Modern, messing with SketchUp, free online as we speak. Yeah. And if you guys come into our Discord, you can just ask, I'm trying to do this. Who knows what are good tutorials? Our community is so large that we have people from everywhere who have tried so many different things that chances are you're going to get an answer to your question. Oh, George, in my professional life, I got to inspect a bunch of pulp and paper mills. Really fascinating to see the process. Oh, I want to do that. There's got to be a way I can worm my way into something like that. Matthew says, I'm building up the courage to attend my first life drawing session on Sunday. Do you have any advice and or things I should know before attending? That's fabulous. I'm so proud of you, Matthew, for doing that. Go. Even if you hesitate or feel nervous, just go. Because, oh my gosh, figure drawing from life, it's like my first love. I don't do it that much anymore because I have so many of the things going on. But you put me in a classroom with a model and drawing from life, it's like I'm happy, like instantly. And I'm not a very happy person most of the time. I know it doesn't seem like it, but one of my kids was like, you have a very angry demeanor. I'm like, yes, I'm kind of grouchy in general. I'm not grouchy with you guys because I have self-control. I'm engaging with students in the community, but in general, I'm not always the most perky person on the planet. So advice for things to do. I would probably make sure you bring a sketchbook because it depends on the equipment they have there. Like I've been to places where they don't have easels. And so you sometimes can't work big. My preference when I do figure drawing is 18 by 24 newsprint, a drawing board, and usually something like Caran d'Ache crayon or Conte crayon to do sketching. I like drawing that big because I have more space. But sometimes they don't have the equipment. And so if you just make sure you have a sketchbook that's a decent size, that's a good alternative. And in terms of what to know in advance, just follow their lead. Chances are there's somebody there who's running it. And I can tell you as a preview, usually the way it goes is the model will pose. Usually it's like 20 to 30 minutes at a time. It depends on the place. And then the model will always take a break. Hopefully it's longer than 5 minutes. I always gave my models a 10-minute break because they needed it. Some places are like 3-minute break. It's obnoxious. But there will be some kind of break. So there's always that in between. And then you draw and just have a great time and report back, Matthew. I'd like you to come back and tell us how it goes because I think that's so fabulous that you're doing that. Brandon says, my question is about tapered lines and strokes. I'm practicing drawing tapered lines and longer strokes. I find drawing in short strokes more comfortable. Was curious what your approach is to lines. Can you tell me in the chat, Brandon, as a follow-up, what media are you doing and what kind of work are you doing? Like, are you doing dense cross-hatching? Are you doing character designs? Because it's hard to give you a specific answer without that information. You come here, you ask a question, I'm going to ask you five. That's just the way it works. Can't help it. Have to be comprehensive. Parvi says, interested in learning scientific illustration to support my visual communication. I'm a chem PhD student. Oh, man. Chemistry was the only class in high school I got a C. Yeah, I was so bad at it. Anyway, Parvi says, there aren't many resources online and no classes near me. Would love some advice. The thing about scientific illustration is if you want to do it professionally, you do have to get a degree. There is a program at Johns Hopkins, I think. There's a couple other ones. I did have a student who went to school for it and is now working as a scientific illustrator. But if you don't want to work professionally and you just want to try it, I don't know about any particular online classes that are available. But look it up and report back. Actually, Mia Rozier, she posted recently on Instagram about having some interest in that field as well. So if she comes up with anything, I'll let you know. I do know that, let's say you have your undergraduate degree, but it wasn't in science. You do have to go back and take prerequisite science classes in order to enroll in a scientific illustration program. On Name says, I'm also trying to learn environmental design, but it's pretty difficult. I'm mostly a character designer, but trying to learn other skills so I can eventually make my own comics online. That's good. It's good that you want to try to learn that. And you know something? Of course it's hard. It's really hard. I think sometimes making those environments, oh, it's so difficult. Because when you make an environment, what you're basically doing is constructing a space. And I think in a lot of ways that is much tougher than doing a single character. So for example, you know, like if you have a character, if Hugh Jackman is here, it's like, I just designed his suit and I make him look amazing. And, you know, that's all I have to do. But if I want to show a space, like show you the depth of, okay, there's a dresser back there. There's the space underneath the easel. That's much more difficult than designing a single character. What I would recommend doing is looking at films or games or whatever that you like the environments for. Collect a whole bunch and try to analyze them. Say to yourself, what is it about this environment that I really like? And I would recommend try our landscapes and backgrounds track. It's on our website, which is artprof.org. And our tracks are a sequence of video lessons and prompts that you can do at your own pace. Because a lot of the times people feel like there's something that they really want to learn, but they oftentimes don't know what are the steps. They don't know where to begin or what to do next. And so what's nice about the tracks is it takes that out of your hands. You don't have to do that. You just go lesson to lesson. You can jump around if you want. And it's really nice to have that structure, I think, for a lot of people. And we also, oh, Malia's also interested in scientific illustration. And why are there no colors yet? Yeah, that's not helpful. You see, anything where you're like, what? What do I do with this? It's not good. Joyce says, to be honest, I've encountered some people who gave me feedback who did not understand my intent. So I tried to explain it, got called combative for expressing what I was specifically after. Oh, of course that's frustrating. I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. Well, that's where I think it is important to pick the people you're trying to get advice from pretty selectively. A lot of people will tell me that they get frustrating comments from family and friends. Of course, they don't have the professional training. You have to ask somebody who actually is going to help you. There's a lot of people who are not going to help you. So don't ask them for critique. Go to our Discord. Again, it is free. You can join, look at the public critique channels. And again, as I mentioned as well, if you want support from me and our staff, we also have our Patreon group. And that, again, is $20 a month. And I can assure you, in that group, you will get professional critiques that, for the most part, I hope are not annoying for people and actually are constructive and helpful. We also have a printmaking question. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything here. Okay, Jen says, not exactly about critique, but about judging. Last week, I was in an art show where they had judging. I overheard the woman in charge discussing the biases that a particular judge had. It happens all the time. I hate it. I'm like, put it aside. This is not part of the conversation, but people do it all the time. Artie says, one of my professors said my illustration was too Norman Rockwell. I wasn't trying to imitate him. You know something, that's actually pretty common that sometimes somebody would bring something into my class and I would say, listen, I think it's a little too close to this artist. And they would say, I don't know who that artist is. And that's okay. Nobody can know like every single artist that's out there. But again, that's why that feedback's important, because you find out, oh yeah, wow, that is that artist's thing. And if I do something like that, I can't get away from that artist. So it is great to have feedback for that reason, because they can bring their knowledge of other artists that you likely don't have. And thank you, Leslie. Following up, an archival library is a place where papers from authors had art, old magazines, and newspapers collections. Many universities have some art collections, free exhibits. Yes. Special collections. I got to go to the one at Brown University because I was taking a illuminated manuscripts class, and we had aluminum manuscripts like 2 inches from our face. It was really incredible. And God's Altar says, has anybody ever done an exhibit? I've been giving the opportunity in the past, but I am not sure. I say go for it, unless it stresses you out. I mean, if the idea of doing, being part of a show causes you a lot of grief or anxiety, don't do it, obviously. But anytime you have a chance to share your work and you feel okay about the place, just make sure that the people you are working with are trustworthy. That's the most important thing. Make sure they're legit. Luke has a printmaking question. How can printmakers overcome challenges like limited access or presses or resources? Do you have any insight on community-based print studios? Yes. I have friends that run community-based print studios, and they are amazing and wonderful, but you do have to pay a fee. Depends on the place. I mean, some places you could just rent out the print shop for certain number of days. Other places have membership where you get access to the studio depending on the amount of money that you pay. I've never done that just because I haven't been able to justify the expense. I've got 2 kids. I got to feed them first before I get access to a print shop. But the challenge to overcome in terms of the limited access to the professional print shop is you have to adjust the materials you work with. For example, I love doing monotypes, but I don't have a press to do that. But I did figure out jelly plates. And while they're not the same thing as printing on a press, they're pretty good. Like, I've done a bunch of jelly plate prints that ended up okay. And the other thing I did too is I bought a little press. It's very small. And I did dry points in my living room when I just got out of school. So sometimes if you can buy like a really small press, sometimes even that is helpful. People have told me that they have used a pasta machine as a press. So I would go to our website and look at the printmaking area, because we have tutorials for printmaking that are all for home studios. I have reels showing how to use a professional print shop, but the instructional things that give you the step-by-step instructions for how to do a technique, those are all on our website. And Artie is asking, where in the Boston area can you get figure drawing opportunities? I haven't been able to find anything. I would look up all of the nonprofit arts organizations. For example, I believe there is one at Cambridge Center for Adult Education, places like Arlington Center for the Arts. There's the New Art Center in Newton. Not all of them are going to have figure drawing, but a lot of them do. And so if you call around to those arts organizations, sometimes you can find something. E says, I want to go to art school and I'm thinking of taking a gap year. Do you think it's a good idea to take one if I don't have a complete art portfolio yet and no time to make one? I don't know the specifics of your situation, but if it just doesn't seem viable to apply this year, that's fine. A lot of people take gap years. Gap years can be incredibly informative experiences. I know Kat did a gap year. She lived in France for a year before she went to art school. So gap years can be great. It all depends on the person. Like, some people are really eager to get to college. Other people want to have a little more breathing room and try something else. I had a friend in Boston who, for her gap year, did City Year, which is basically an urban Peace Corps. So they were a community program and they helped in some of the urban areas of Boston in the communities. Joy's asking, have you tried digital art? How different is it from traditional? If you want to see my first time doing digital, type into YouTube, art prof, first time. he'll find it. Oh my gosh, it was such a mess. Poor Jordan had to be on the stream with me. It was so different. I mean, the thing that I had trouble with was just the surface. Like, I'm not used to a slicker surface. And I know they have those things you can put on that make it feel more like paper, but that part I sort of couldn't get over. And the other thing is that with an Apple Pencil, it is very sensitive, but there is a very minor delay. And I just want it instant, pencil to paper. And so that was very hard for me, making that adjustment. Maybe someday I'll try some digital work, but I just love paper. And I love the tactility of each individual material. So it's not likely I'll do a lot of it. I have used it quite a bit for thumbnail sketches, really handy for that. And actually, I use it a lot whenever I do critiques in the Discord. I oftentimes will download the picture and then draw over it and do things like that. So I found it helpful for that. But in terms of my work, it's not really something I'm that interested in for the moment. Who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind tomorrow. And okay, Brandon's following up. Trying to use tapered lines when it comes to things like character design and digital, just not sure what type of line fits a certain medium. I think I would take away trying to figure out that relationship type of line to a certain medium, because I think you want to be able to do many types of lines in any given medium, because that will give you flexibility. I think sometimes if we say, if I'm drawing with pen, these are the types of lines I make. And if I'm drawing with pencil, I make them like this. Fundamentally, make all those kinds of lines in different media. And then doing it obviously is different. I mean, if you're doing a line with a pen, it's not the same thing as you're doing one with a pencil. But I would just advocate for you to develop as much variation with your lines as possible, because line, like shape, is such a simple, basic concept. It's easy to take for granted, but I think doing good line work is extremely difficult. So there is a very famous artist, Al Hirschfeld. If you look him up, he did these wonderful caricatures and they're all dip pen and they have beautiful line work. So take a look at his work. He is a phenomenal artist and you'll learn a lot from looking at his drawings. Oh, yay, Angela, you made it. Say hello. I do make an effort to greet every single person who enters the Discord. So you will at the very least get a greeting from me. And by the way, everybody, you don't have to feel pressure to participate. You can totally just lurk for a little while. I tell people that it is great to lurk. Get a feeling for the group, see what the conversations are like. And if you're comfortable, join us. And if you're not, that's okay too. You can be a forever lurker. But there is a lot of information in there that you can learn without speaking to anybody. Of course, I think it's more fun when you speak to us, but obviously your comfort level is the most important thing. Janice says, I keep trying to get up and get to a cafe in the morning to do some surreptitious sketchers from life. Used to do it a few years ago. It was fun. Yes. Coffee and pastries also are very helpful. I do that actually sometimes in the morning when I sort of get cabin fever because I work at home. I'll just go to a cafe and do social media and stuff when I'm there, because I just like to be in a different place whenever I can. Jen says, after watching your Andrew Raftery video, I've been studying my watercolor really well to learn staining transparency, but now I'm overwhelmed and have choice paralysis. Any tips to get past it? Maybe, Jen, it's a matter of really streamlining things, taking away a big chunk of the technique so you can focus on something else. For example, some of you may have seen, I posted that short where he talks about his palette, which is all greens. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a depth of color understanding that I just don't think I have. But if you say to yourself, I'm going to make a green painting, I'm not going to do anything else, then you don't have to deal with all the other colors, and maybe just simplifying it to one color or two or whatever you want to do, maybe that will make it easier to see what those differences are. Because if you have an opaque brown next to transparent brown, it's easier to see the difference than if one was red and one was pink, or rather purple. That's what I meant to say. Two very different colors. So sometimes if you have the same color, but one is opaque and one is transparent, you can see that difference more clearly. So I think I would just keep it really simple, paint something which is not that complex, do one color, do earth tones, whatever you want. That might be a good way to do it. Joy Zone is asking, how do you feel about AI art? Pretty much against it myself. I read someone got hired with no experience, but only AI work. The DA was quite upset about this. We do have a couple streams about AI, so I'm not going to do a super deep dive, but I think it's alarming. And the thing is, if you guys watch our very first stream about AI, which was, I don't know, a year ago or something, I remember our reaction as a staff. We're like, it's another tool. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And then the second stream, we're like, yeah, this is a problem. We don't like this. For me, it's the copyright thing, which is them scraping images from the internet. I'm not okay with that. And there are some artists whose work is so popular online that it's just generating stuff that looks exactly like their work. And I think that's awful. Like, there was this one digital artist, totally cannot remember his name. There was a New York Times article about it, about how his name is the top artist name that gets typed into AI. And that would upset me a lot. Now, if you're not a super famous artist, chances are you don't have to worry about that right now. But we are seeing magazines and publications who are using AI to make illustrations that are taking away jobs from illustrators. Wings Me is asking about what would be good to start with printmaking. I think jelly plates would be great. They're inexpensive. They're fast. You don't need tons of training or technique to be able to do one. And they're just really fun. So go to, again, our website, artprof.org, and you will see that you can type jelly into the search bar and you will definitely find that. We also have a question from, oh yay, Apurva just joined the Discord as well after seeing Angela. Great, I'm so glad you guys are joining. It's just the best place to interact with us. And it wasn't Sam Yang. I feel like it was somebody from the Netherlands, but I'm totally forgetting. He's famous for digital illustrations of dragons. Brandon says, thanks for answering. I've watched a few of your live streams now. You're helping me with art problems. Has really helped me stay and avoid burnout. Well, I hope we can be there for all of you in that way, because I just firmly believe that you cannot be an artist by yourself. I mean, you could, but it's not fun. And it is difficult to improve without voices from other people. I mean, I was feeling burnout today. That's why I took a nap. Because I was like, oh my God, if I edit another reel, I'm going to die. So I took a nap. But we need other artists to validate our crazy thoughts. Who here has had this? Raise your hand. Whatever you want to do. Where something's going through your mind about your work and you're like, oh my God, I'm crazy. This is so dumb. Why am I even thinking about this one thing? And then you come into the Discord and you're like, anybody notice that the deckled edge on Reeves BFK 280 grams, it's just a little rougher. And I was really mad because I thought it was going to be more like the 200 gram, but actually that one, the deckled edge is a little bit too rough and it's not quite what I want. Stuff like that goes through my head, okay? Like all the time. And so when you have other people that say, yes, that does matter, because sometimes I'm doing something and I think to myself, does this matter? Does it matter that I'm spending another 30 minutes massaging this spot of my painting? Is this just a waste of time? And then you look at Andrew Raftery's watercolors, you're like, it's not a waste of time because he's doing this technique, which is absurdly slow. But look at the results. I mean, you see the results of that depth of patience with the process. And I think if we hadn't ever seen that, it would be hard for us to validate all the frustrations and things that come up as artists. So this is the regular live. So we switched Sweet Art to vertical live streaming. So this is not the same thing as the horizontal ones. The difference is that this vertical live stream, it does show up in the shorts feed. The horizontal ones don't. This is something we're trying because it's new. And we have gotten much better traction on the verticals. So at least for now, this is what we're going to do. Kat is asking, how do I get out of art block? For me, a big part of it is changing media. That almost always works. So if I'm doing a lot of paintings and the paintings are frustrated me, I'll just put painting aside for a little bit and I'll get some clay and start sculpting something. Because usually a lot of it is just feeling like you're sort of doing the same thing over and over again. And so when you switch media, it's a very clear-cut change. You know it's not going to be the same thing as the painting, but it's also a change of pace. For me, I know if I'm doing too much of the same thing all the time, it makes me a little crazy. Not everybody's like that. I mean, I know some artists, they do this one technique and it sustains them. It does not for me. I get really bored really fast, which is not always a good thing. And exactly, annoyed when your work doesn't look just right. Most of the time, a lot of people don't even notice that. Well, Sweet Art, you're here, which tells me that you're probably in the right place, I hope, anyway. And we also have Artie. Love to see his lithography process for transferring his illustration to the watercolor paper. Well, I have a lot of artists that I know who I would love to get on camera. For example, a lot of people were asking me about lithography because I interviewed my friend Carolyn Muscat, and she has her own litho shop, which is so cool. We call her the Litho Queen because she is, she's, oh my gosh, so masterful in terms of lithography. And so because I was doing some shorts, giving tours of the lithography studio at RISD, now everybody's like, I want to see lithography. I'm like, okay, fly me to Boston. Carolyn told me she's there. She's waiting for me. I just got to get the budget. A lot of what we want to do all comes down to budget because traveling is not cheap. And yeah, I'm not married to a millionaire or anything like that. I mean, I do love my spouse. He's fine, but he's not a millionaire, unfortunately. But I would love to do that. I would love to go film more because people were asking me about Andrew's handmade soft pastels. He's already agreed he will do it. But again, I have to get out there. And reminder to everybody, we are doing registration. Today's the last day to register for these May and June workshops. Get that in so we can make sure these workshops run. We're offering flowers, acrylic painting, printmaking, pen and ink, collage and mixed media, and also landscapes. Hope you guys will register for that. It is 2 weeks. You get to work with me, written feedback, and also a 3-hour live session. Join our Patreon group. This is where you get access to weekly voice sessions with staff. You get critiques from me. I promise they're professional and not going to be annoying. I hope they aren't. And support in a small group of artists. Art Prof has services. We have artist calls, portfolio critiques, statement editing, and personal art curriculums. Join our art school portfolio groups. Get a head start on your portfolio because a lot of people wait too long. This is where you get access to voice sessions and support. Art Prof has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And subscribe to our channel for more tutorials, critiques, and business tips. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.